Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Oliver Dolby. Oliver is known as the Soul Doctor. He is an energy healer, teacher, and spiritual guide with over 25 years of experience supporting people through deep emotional and energetic transformation. He is the creator of the Etheric Trauma Release Method, ETRM, a powerful approach that helps clear energetic imprints of trauma, anxiety, and subconscious limitation so that clients can feel lighter, clearer, and more themselves. Through one-to-one sessions, group work, and his Soul Doctor community, Oliver helps people reconnect with inner safety, spiritual clarity, and the light within.
Morning.
Good morning, Oliver. Lovely. Oh, it's very wonderful to meet you.
And you too.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Lovely, lovely. Oh, Oliver, we have wonderful, wonderful, so many questions to ask you.
Okay, sure, fair enough.
Fascinating. The Soul Doctor, Oliver, the Soul Doctor, which is absolutely fascinating. But first of all, I'd really love for you to tell us a little bit about your 25-year journey, you know, of healing, self-discovery, facing your own challenges, and finally letting go of emotional blockages to transform and release your hidden potential.
Well, it's never an easy start, is it? Because
No.
we never know what we've got in store for us in this world. And it's amazing how things happen in a way that's sort of synchronicity. It sort of follows you around. And my background, believe it or not, is a rock climbing instructor. And I was out on the rock face teaching, sharing the skills of rock climbing with some clients. And at the end of a course, one of my clients says, "Oliver, you've got to go and see this doctor." And because she was a good client, I decided to go and see this chiropractor. And the chiropractor obviously adjusted my back, then did a little bit of hands-on energy healing on me, and sent me out the door with a small packet of homeopathics. That was my first introduction to energy work at the age of probably 22. A week later, I realized that this asthma inhaler I'd been carrying around in my pocket since the age of about 10 or 11, I actually hadn't used. And that's when the light bulb went on and said, this energy healing had caused something in me to change. And 3 months later, I completely stopped with all the asthmatic meditation, medicine, and threw away the inhalers. And it really got me into this idea that there's more to life than just the medical way of looking at things. There's actually an energetic component to it. The same client then said to me, "Oh, by the way, Oliver, he's running a workshop this weekend. Are you free? Do you want to join me on it?" And of course, I was, yes, absolutely. And so that was my start into this world of energy and how energy can really affect the physical body and cause instantaneous changes in the body, if you allow it to.
Yes.
You know, and that journey, that really woke it up. And I then went on to study quite a lot of this technique called body alignment technique back then. It's changed names since then. And there's many other things I've studied in between that. And then over the years, I started to refine what I do to find out what works for everybody, to take those old modalities and see if they can fit into the 21st century. Because the 21st century is very different to the 20th century. And it's even more different to the 19th century. And yet so much of what we do today is based on an old way of looking at things. You know, it's great to take a steam train because it brings back sort of memories and you chug along and it's all exciting. But actually, that's not the way to live your life because you never get anywhere. And with the speed of the world today, I need to find ways of taking healing into the 21st century so we could cause instantaneous results with people without them having to go through that time that it takes to heal.
Yes.
And all the work I've been doing in the last little while is being, how can I reinvent what I do to make it practical and purposeful for the 21st century, where we can have this incredibly fast healing so that people can get on with their lives, that they don't have to see me over and over and over again, or in fact, anybody else over and over again, to make sure those results stay and last.
That's just
And of course, the journey was up and down. It was up and down. There were moments of real excitement, and there are moments where it just didn't work and life happens. But it really took focusing inwards on me to find out how to do that. And so that, in a very brief nutshell, is sort of how I came to this point.
And that was beautiful what you said, because you don't want your clients to come back over and over and over again, like many psychologists and psychiatrists. You are facilitating through your healing, become the healed healer. You're facilitating yourself to help the higher self within that person to become their higher, healer. So
Absolutely,
that they
absolutely.
don't have to come back over and over again. They can use your tools to heal themselves, which is everyone has to heal thyself. It's so beautiful.
The biggest thing is I want my clients and those that I work with to be better today than they were tomorrow. And for some of them, that might be a huge step. For others, it might be just a small step because we're all different. We're all going to process things differently. Some of us are ready to take those giant leaps. Others are going to be a more gradual, steady approach. That's okay, as long as you are better today than you were yesterday, and that change is going to last. Because there's nothing worse than taking someone, especially someone who's been through trauma, to really help them and help them understand that and heal through that, for them to then 6 months later be back in that place.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and so you've then got to start to look at ways that you can make that change last so that people aren't slipping back, that they're not still plugged into that event, that trauma, that pain, that they can recognize it as something in the past and move, keep moving forward, keep growing, keep grounding themselves in the new energy.
Beautiful. And we are holistic beings, mind, body, and soul. And you are known as the soul doctor. So I would really love for you to tell our audience, how do you describe what the soul is? Why is it the most, for me, I believe anyway, the most important aspect of who we truly are? And how does soul connection or soul work help us? So please define what the soul is.
Well, it's very important, great that you asked that question, because we often think of ourselves as this physical body. And this we see ourselves just as this. In fact, this is what we can see, we can feel, we can touch. But those that have sort of studied the metaphysical world and have sort of spiritual intuition and things like that realize that there's far more to us than just this physical form. Okay? And that's where the soul comes into it. If we look at that soul as this greater aspect of the self. And if we look at the soul and go, okay, if I'm this great soul, the soul is having a physical experience. So our souls have chosen to have these physical experiences here on Earth. And it's not the physical having the soul, it's the soul who actually has a physical. So we turn it back to front almost. And the way I've heard lots of people explain it is like we have this dream on Earth. The soul is having the dream of Oliver here doing these things on Earth. And when Oliver physical passes on, the soul wakes up from that dream and goes, oh wow, Oliver had a great journey. Oliver learned lots of things. Oliver helped lots of people. So it's a really different way of looking at it. But with what I really started to understand that there's many, many aspects to this. Okay, it's not as black and white as we often like to see it. And I started to work out that there was a need to on another side of that soul, another component to that soul to heal that soul, right? So when we think about, we experience the world through our hearts, okay? Because we are emotional beings. We can't deny that everybody on this planet has emotions, and we all experience the emotions on this planet. We all have to experience them. We can't escape them. Yes, there are some people that might be very logical and will try to just see the world through the logic, but the majority of us see it through the heart, through the emotions. And I realized very soon in this work that the heart reflects into the soul, and the soul reflects into the heart. And so if the heart was broken, it started to reflect into the soul. And you start to get, and imagine it, imagine a beautiful picture of a heart hanging on your wall. And a heartbreak comes along and it just knocks that picture and it falls on the floor. Boom, and the glass cracks. But of course, what do? You pick it up, you dust it off, put it back on the wall. But in that process, a small fragment of glass has been left on the ground. You don't know it. You carry on with life, a few more knocks, a few more bumps, a few more heartaches, because life's about that. And a few more fragments get lost. And I start to realize that every time we have a heartbreak, we lose a fragment of that heart energy. And that's reflected into the soul.
So true.
And so the soul is starting to look cracked and maybe slightly dirty. So when we start to then collect all those lost pieces of the heart back together, bring them back into that place, bring all those pieces together to seal them off, to heal them, to make them that smooth, beautiful picture again. So the same happens to the soul. And the soul and the heart come back into alignment and go, okay, we're back online now. We know where we need to go to. This doesn't mean, of course, that the heart doesn't break again. Of course it does, because that's how we grow and learn. You know, it's the one thing that we need in this world is that love. We all do. And so as we're guided through life, we want to keep that soul aligned with the physical so that we're working together as one. So
Beautiful.
I don't know if that answers the question, because we can go down a rabbit hole with this one.
No, but that's beautiful because that's what Rumi says. Rumi says the wound is where the light enters, and you must crack your heart open to, for that light to come in. And that's so beautiful,
And
isn't
then
it?
it expands, and then it
Yes.
expands, and then it expands, and then it expands.
Yeah.
But at the same time as expanding, it's so important to remember that it's about going in.
In, yes.
You've got to love you,
Yeah.
because no one else can love you,
That's right.
right? Well, we can love the aspects of you. We can love what you say, what you do, the way you look. We can have admiration for you, passion, doesn't matter what it is. But nobody knows what the other person's processes are inside. Nobody knows what they're thinking, what's happening inside their heads. Nobody knows what they're feeling, how they're feeling. We can assume. Only you can love those broken bits of you.
That's so true. And
Nobody else can.
that's right. And when you do that, then you're giving that energy out and allowing others to love those broken parts of you, because we're all mirrors to
Absolutely.
each other. And
Absolutely.
is it not that, finding and bringing back all those soul heart pieces that we gave away to people, places, and things, and all of the heartache, bringing them back together, to me, that brings wholeness and oneness. It's whole. You're becoming whole again. Holy again, enlightened again.
Absolutely,
To me,
absolutely,
that's enlightenment.
100%.
Yeah.
You're becoming holy again. Yes, one whole, absolutely. And when you're holy, guess what? People start responding. The only way you change people around you is by changing yourself. And when you do, it's amazing how those mirrors start changing, how those people start to look at different to you, and vice versa.
Yes. And you're giving out that wonderful energy. You're attracting wonderful things to you. It's what you put your attention on, what you put your attention on, what love, the things that you love will be reflected back to you.
And it's very simple. I always like to bring things down to a very simple level that I've got a young daughter and I want to make it that she can understand. If I'm having a bad day and I scream and shout and spill coffee on myself and swear at the universe telling me I'm having a really bad day, guess what? I've manifested that bad day.
Yeah.
I've made that day bad. But if I just change my go and say, oh, I spilled coffee on myself. Oh, well, actually, maybe I shouldn't wear this shirt. Maybe I should wear a different shirt. Turn it around and then go, well, why did I spill coffee on myself? Oh, because I was in a hurry. I wasn't grounded. I was daydreaming. Whatever the reason, then you start to go, okay, so there's a reason for that happening. Ah, let me look at why it happened. Let me find that positive in it. Let me find the silver lining. And it does take a little bit of a mind shift to do that. But when you start to find that silver lining, you start to see it everywhere. You start to see it in others. You start to see what they say, how it reflects back, and you go, ah, interesting. I understand. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you reflect back. But it's always about finding that positive in everything. Because when you find that positive, life just comes to you and you just flow it. It doesn't become that constant fight
Yes,
to
the
make those
battle.
connections.
Yeah, resisting. Yes, it's a flow.
Yeah.
How beautiful, how beautiful. And that's what it is, isn't it? When you're in that flow, you're in alignment and you're having the soul connection. You know, this is what soul work is, isn't it? You're having that connection to the highest part of yourself. You know,
And you touched on it at the, sorry, interrupt you there, but you touched on it right at the beginning is that we are becoming our higher selves. We are then becoming our higher selves, higher self, and our higher selves, higher self, and the higher, and so it goes on. So we are becoming a better and better version of ourselves every single moment, if we choose to do that. Of course, you don't have to choose to do that, and no one's judging you, but it's much more fun to become a better version of yourself than a worse version of yourself. Sort of we all look for that light, for that positivity.
Yes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
That's so beautiful. That really is. And please describe, before we get on to ETRM, because it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. Please describe how we hold on to pain, how we hold on to emotional wounds, deep rooted fears and trauma. I mean, I, as a yogini, believe, it's all energy, and we hold that energy within the pain body. Can you explain about that?
We've been taught from a very early age that life is tough, that there's drama, that you've got to be in the drama, that you've got to be part of the pain, that you've got to work hard, that you've got to struggle, that you've got to do this 9 to 5 job or 8 to 6 job or work nights or whatever it is, that belief structure that's been built around you, that it's going to be difficult. And now you start to run that program of it's going to be difficult. And you're going to have to work hard to be paid a salary, to pay your mortgage, your bills, your car, whatever it might be. And that then is a painful, just thinking about it is painful. And we start to then lock that pain into the body. And we start to really lock that pain in. And we start to live that pain. And when we're in that place of pain, life can only reflect pain back at us. So you'll see other people struggling. You'll see other people in pain. You'll see other people who have the similar sort of issues and worries that you have. They'll be reflected back into your life. And you'll start to build on with that. You'll start to prove yourself right all the time. Proving yourself right that there is pain, that it is a struggle, that life is hard, that you don't get what you want. That only those that are lucky enough to be born with that silver spoon or to have or people that are lucky are going to make it, right? The lucky ones do, no one else does. And that's how we started anchor on these things. And of course, you can't change what's happened to you. And let's just take a very simple, painful experience. And it can be absolutely anything. Let's just say it's standing on a drawing pin that's stuck in your foot. Okay? Very painful. Now, you can choose to stop straight away and address it, or you can choose to carry on walking with it. Most people go, well, I'm too busy to address that. I'll deal with it. Let me just stick a plaster on it right now. Okay? And I'll get to it. I'll get to it. They never actually get to it. And then things start to progress and get more and more painful, more and more painful, more and more painful. Until it's so painful that you actually have to stop and address it. And usually by that time, it's got a lot worse, right? And then it's not just a matter of putting it out and patching it up. It's about fixing infections, whatever else might have been gone with that, nerve damage, et cetera, et cetera. So, but with our emotional sides, with our traumas in life, we hide from them, bury them,
Bury them.
or stick a little plaster on it for now. And I'll deal with that. I will deal with it. And the trauma is going, no, this is the perfect time to address it. This is the perfect time. Now is the time. Now is the time. It pops up and you're, no, push back. Pops up again. No, definitely not, because it's Monday and I got to write an email to my boss. Okay. Trauma needs to be addressed. And it keeps progressing, getting worse and worse and worse. And what I've really noticed, and it's quite widely known, if you don't address it,
It will pop up
it
at.
starts to become physical.
Yes, that's right.
Starts to
Manifest in
become
the body.
really physical, really painful, leading to something where you actually physically have to stop. It could lead to burnout. It could lead to some form of illness, things like cancer and all sorts of things where you've really got to stop and make dramatic life changes. But if addressed when it first popped its head up, where you'd be able to shift it and clear it quite easily.
That's the problem, though, isn't it? Many people don't want to go into their shadow. They don't want to go into the dark parts of themselves, them, which is where all of that lurks, But we are dark and we are light. We are both. We have to embrace
Absolutely.
both parts of it. We can't stay in the light because we live in this world of duality. We have to address both parts of us, in this world, masculine and feminine, light and dark, good and bad. It's all within us. And we have to see the light in that darkness, and bring it up to the surface.
And there always is. There always is light in the darkness. Because without the darkness, there'd be no light. Without the light, there'd be no darkness. Because we need to have that reflection. We need to have that opposite. Otherwise, if everyone was light, we wouldn't know
You wouldn't
that there
see
was
it.
darkness. If everything was dark, we wouldn't know there was light. So we are very much in this duality. We have to accept both of them. Right? And there's no judgment either way. Right? It's just the soul having this experience, the spirit having this experience. Through the soul, through the physical form. And that's the way you know, with the contrast, with that duality. Can you imagine if every day was a beautiful 23 degrees, and every day you were having your cocktail with a group of people, and it was all lovely? The first day would be amazing. Day two might be pretty good. Day three would be like, oh, really? Same people, same cocktail, same sunset, same temperature. Day four would be like, oh, get me out of here. Okay? We need to have the ups and downs. We need to roll with life's roller coaster of the good days and the not so good days. But we want to make sure that our roller coaster is always going up. So we go up, have a great day. We go down a little bit. Yeah, not so bad. We can make some changes. Oh, I feel a little bit depressed. Okay, let's do something about that. Go up again. Our next high is going to be higher than the last high.
That's right.
Our next low is going to be higher than the last low.
That's right. Well, we
And
won't ever
that's what
go
we're
so
doing.
low again.
We never want to do that. It's always about keeping that roller coaster on an uphill so that every high or every low is higher than the last one.
That's so
And by the way, the highs might feel like yesterday's high. But over time, you look back and just look back to when maybe you were 16, about what you believed about the world and where you're at to where you are now, and how you actually have changed dramatically in the way you believe things, what you want out of the world, what you see in the world, and how you present yourself in the world, how that has changed and evolved.
So much. And that's the, in yoga we call it the middle path. You're not going so, you eventually the highs and lows don't get so high and don't get so low because you're not
Yes.
reacting so much to it. You're not the victim. You're learning to be the creator, of all of that. And you're learning to stay in your place of calm a lot more. You're learning to become the master of your emotions, thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, so that you're going on the
Absolutely.
middle path.
And the thing is, there's no magic pill that's going to do that for you.
No.
And of course, I know a lot of people look for that quick fix. Is there something we can do that's going to take 5 minutes a day that can fix us to that point? And the answer is no. It takes focusing on self. And what's right for you and what's right for me might be two completely different things based on where we're at in our life. If I really hate yoga and I cannot touch my toes, and you tell me, you've got to come to yoga, it's going to be amazing, it's going to transform you. And I go there and I absolutely hate every single moment of it.
Of course.
Guess what? It's not doing me any good.
Yes.
Now, in a few years' time, I might go back to it in class and go, oh my God, this is amazing. Why didn't I try this earlier? But I wasn't ready for it a few years prior to that.
Of course you got.
I'm now ready for it. And so it's now time to use that tool.
That's correct.
So you've got to choose the right tool for where you are in your life.
Baby steps, that's right. You got to go and
And use the tool until you don't need it anymore,
yeah, that's
right?
right. But and that's why, with yoga you go on and but then it leads you, stilling the body helps you to still the mind and helps you to go within. And that's the real goal, of yoga.
And you're so right what you said about those extremes becoming closer and closer together. And so you start to become the observer rather than jumping into the drama.
You're the soul
Right?
consciousness. You're the soul
Absolutely.
consciousness looking at the thoughts, looking at the feelings. That's not who you are.
No.
Ego, that's not who you are. We're the true self with the soul consciousness, aren't we? Observing it all.
But it's important to remember that it's important to have an ego.
We couldn't survive.
Because if you didn't have an ego, we wouldn't even be having this call.
No, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. It's like, oh, well, what's the point? The ego says, you need to have that ego say, hey, I've got a mission. I want to do stuff. I want to help people. I want to serve. I want to, whatever you want to do, you need that ego to get you to do that. Because without that, there'd be no drive. So it's not about getting rid of the ego. And I know a
No.
lot of people try to get rid of the ego. It's about to get rid of, let go of those parts that don't serve the greater you. But the parts that are there, the humility, the passion, the excitement, the things that get you moving, that's the positive ego.
Yes, using
That's what you need to focus on.
it as a positive tool instead of a negative tool. Beautiful.
You know what? Every tool's like that.
Yeah.
You know, every tool. You know, a hammer can hammer nails. It can also break walls. It can also smash windows, right? It's just a tool. It's the same with meditation. It's just a tool. It's just a tool. How do you want to use it? You want to use it for positivity? It'll work. You want to use it for negativity? Guess what? It'll also work.
Yeah, that's
It's
right.
just a tool.
That's so true. It's how we use it. We're the ones. It's all about us. It's all self-created, isn't it?
And because it's about you, you've got to look at you and see how you use it. And how you use it today might be different how you use it in a year's time.
That's right, because we're always evolving out of that last tool, because we've moved up. It's like the whole evolution process. It's just fascinating.
It's amazing, and it makes me, it's so exciting for me to see how quickly we evolve and how we're only limiting ourselves. And we're only limiting ourselves based on what other people have taught us.
Yes.
A teacher that says you can't do that
Yes.
sticks into some kids, doesn't stick into others. You
Yes.
take that belief with you, going, oh, I can't do that because Mr. Smith from 1984 told me that I couldn't do that. That was his issue, not mine.
That's right. That's so
So
true.
we realize that how our beliefs, most of our beliefs, in fact, probably 98% of our beliefs, come from somebody else.
That's right. They don't come from our soul.
You know, as a baby, as a child, you absorb your family's beliefs without them saying, this is what we believe. No one tells you, this is what we believe, this is what we should do. You just absorb them.
It's
Whether it's
conditioning.
following a certain football team, whether it's, you know, a certain way of cooking, a certain way of behaving amongst family, it's all beliefs that have been infused into you without anybody actually explaining them to you. Same with work, same with colleagues, same with community groups, same with friends. You start
Everything.
to adopt that belief without knowing it. It's
Yeah.
just absorbed into you.
That's right. Until you awaken and you begin to have your own beliefs about
Yes.
everything, and you use your intuition and your divine intelligence, and your higher self to know, no, this is what I believe. This is what I do. This is when you become the master. You don't,
Yes.
and you don't allow other e exterior things in that world to have any effect over how you think, feel, and be.
Exactly. Amazing. That's it. You know, that's, I think that's our real goal, you know, and it's the
Yeah.
ancient talk is, you know, to know thyself, right? We're here to learn about ourselves, to figure it out ourselves, to share, of course, and to have those reflections, but to really know me and
Yes.
for you to know you. And through that process, we get to know each other. But it is when we really look at what makes me tick that I get to know and change my world.
That's right.
And
No.
it's a lifelong journey. It's not a quick class, you know, it's not a quick schooling, it's a life schooling.
Yes. It is. It goes on and on and on. It's never learnt. It's you're never awakened, you're never enlightened, it's an onward upwards journey.
Well, you're already enlightened.
Yes,
You've
we
just
just don't think
forgotten.
that. Yeah, we forgot it.
Right? And so now we've got to find our way back there into that enlightened, ever-expanding enlightenment. You know, it's like this idea of searching for perfection. You're never going to find perfection because the universe isn't perfect. It's expanding and changing every second, every moment. So there is no one thing that's perfect. It's this illusion that we're going to find perfection. You might look at somebody and go, oh, they're absolutely perfect. That person can look at themselves and go, no, I'm not.
That's
I've got this
right.
wrong with me. This ear sticks out too far. That tooth is that way. Hairy leg, not hairy leg, whatever it might be, Everybody's finding flaws within themselves. And you go, wow, look at that beautiful person. They're absolutely perfect. They're not. Nothing is perfect.
And that's what they say, the only thing that is permanent is the soul, because the soul never dies. The soul carries on in beautiful, melodious, celestial, miraculous ways of evolution, even after we die. So, it's never ending, but that's the only permanent thing. You've got to look within to find that.
And to have fun doing it. Yes, there is some hard work, and yes, sitting down to spend time, doing a therapy or taking a class or learning about the soul or learning about, the chakras, whatever it might be, or even doing a yoga class takes time and effort. Okay, it's not a matter of just arriving there and suddenly being able to do the perfect yoga pose. No, you're going to wobble, shake, stretch, oh, can't do it, creaks and all that. But once that's over, that feeling that runs through you, that ability to then have more presence, to be able to stand and be yourself and actually start to be comfortable being you. Can you stand there and go, I am 100% comfortable being me? I'm not trying to hide behind a mask of somebody else. I'm not going to try and put on a certain personality to fit a room. I'm going to stand there because I'm so comfortable with me being me that I don't care whether you like me or not.
That's right. That's
And when you
powerful.
get to that point, you find more people start to like you, right? But when you're worried about people liking you or not liking you, guess what? More of them don't like you. It's the way the world works,
It's
right?
true. It's so true. That's so true. And so ETRM, Etheric Trauma Release Method, which is what you teach and how you help and heal others. Please tell us how it works and, its benefits.
Okay, so it's I reached a point where I'd learned so much from other people, and it wasn't quite being my truth. And I started to really, people often say, oh, Olive, you're so lucky because you can see the auras, right? It didn't start that way, right? 20, 30 years ago, it didn't start that way. I saw nothing. I felt, didn't feel energy. I didn't know it. I just didn't get it at all. And over the more and more time that I've worked at looking and sensing and seeing, I've started to see more of the stuff in people's auras, more of the traumas, more of where the fears are located, where the blockages are in the subtle energies that are around the body. And I realized that when we start to address those subtle energies that are around here, it has a direct and almost an immediate effect on the physical body. Sometimes there's a belief in a way that the person has that, oh, it's going to take 6 months to heal. That's okay. That's their belief. But if we start to address what's outside there, particularly in the energy that's right closest to the body, there's this beautiful light which is often known as the etheric body. It's that, I guess, the first part of the aura that most people see when they start to look, where they've got that bright white light that's around there. And that's the sort of the etheric body. And the best time to see that is when someone comes out of the sea on a hot day on a beach, and you just glance up and you'll start to see that white around them. And you'll go, what's going on my eyes? And you'll try and focus in, and then they'll be back to normal. Because salt water is an incredible cleaner of the aura. It starts to clear a lot of the stuff. And so people who are in the sea a lot have these beautiful white bits around them. Now, those of us that are living in London and the cities, it's not so easy to keep clean. Okay. And so then I start to see that people's auras were really getting very close and tight. And if we start to imagine the aura not as just a subtle part, another part to us, but almost as a force field that protects the physical form, right? So that if we keep the space around us clean, it starts to get stronger. It starts to repel more. It starts to allow you to stand in your presence, in your person. And those that had very, very weak fields around them, auras, had lots of holes and lots of cracks. So energetically, they were leaking loads of energy, loads of light. The same time as they were leaking energy, they were also allowing energetic parasites to come in.
That's right, the negativity to come in, yeah.
And you know, and negativity could be anything, right?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Basically, that energetic parasite, and I often use the energy of anger, because we all have days when we're angry. Life throws stuff at us. If we've got a holy aura, okay, not as in not holy, but as in full of holes, a parasite's going to fly in. It's not an evil thing. It's not a demon. It's just a fly doing its job. It's just a parasite, and it starts to feed off that energy of, let's say, anger. And if there's lots of anger there, it's going to call a couple of its friends along. And so next thing you have three flies in your aura buzzing around, feeding off the energy of anger. Now, the last thing that parasite wants is to you to find a meditative, beautiful state of joy. Because what would it feed on? And so what happens is that these parasites energetically will try and keep you in anger. They'll keep finding ways of reminding you to be angry. Let's say you go out and the sun is shining, you have a beautiful walk, and you're feeling full of joy as you come back home, and you come to the front door and you trip on the mat and you bang your knee. Oh, boom, you're back in anger. The parasite says, oh, thank goodness, Oliver's back in anger. We can relax, our food source is safe. And so we find things that will keep triggering us to be angry. So when we look at the etheric trauma release method, we first look at clearing out the parasites, the little energetic dust and dirt that is causing you to stay stuck, right? And you might, if you're really, really angry, you might still have to go and do some sort of form of talk therapy where you sort of understand the processes behind it, but you want to clear that space so that you're not being prodded all the time to be angry, so that you can have longer moments of stillness, of realizing that, hey, I'm not angry. So clearing out those parasites, the first thing. Second stage is unplugging from the traumas. Okay? If you're plugged into that trauma, and I always imagine trauma as a lamp. Let's say a bedside lamp. It's plugged into the wall, it's switched on, the switch is on. And you might go and do some work and talk about it and heal it and switch it off. And what happens then is that you end up knocking the light and the switch goes on. And you're back in your trauma. So when we look at it from a different perspective, can we turn that switch off permanently? Well, the etheric trauma release method does that. It takes the light bulb out, it unplugs it from the wall, and it cuts the cord away. And then we discard that. Because remember, we can't take the trauma away. Because the trauma is what's made you who you are.
Yes.
So we can't take your trauma and say, forget about it, it doesn't exist anymore. Because then you would be half of who you are. So stop that trauma from lighting up. Allow it to be there as that support who's made you this great person that understands, but without it flashing all the time. And so that's what the etheric trauma release really does, is it unplugs you from your trauma, and then we start to look at the beliefs and the mind states. Can we change that belief that keeps taking us back to that event? So can we change that on it, reverse that on its head? And that's where we still work a lot with the energy of the head and the mind, and start to really map that energy across so that both hemispheres of the brain understand it and don't need it to trigger it, to light it up. That's pretty much what the etheric trauma release method does. It doesn't always follow those direct things because every individual is different. We all have different needs, obviously. And we've all suffered from different trauma.
Yes.
You know, what's traumatic for me, you might look at me and go, what's traumatic about that? You know, that's not trauma. That's my average day.
Exactly.
And for others, it trauma might be just sitting in the house going, I'm too scared to go outside.
Mm.
Yeah? It's all different. It's all personal. It's all very, very personal. Mm. So we've got to find those fears. We find those traumas and then clear them, change the belief. Okay. And I've developed powerful processes that really allow that to clear on multiple levels.
Mm.
So I look at clearing it on all parallel lifetimes. So all those possibilities of things that you could have been doing if you weren't doing what you were doing right now, clear it on those levels. Then clear it into the future times of things that you might potentially do. And, of course, the past, the younger you, obviously. And then I've got the idea of past lives, obviously. And then other soul journeys, dimensions, universes that are really outside of our sort of conscious awareness.
Yeah.
But then allowing that clearing to rip all the way through. So that you don't have to keep hold of that belief in that way.
Yeah, that is absolutely powerful, because I believe in ancestral karma and patterns and, you know, trauma, wounding that we hold on to in our DNA energetically, that's been passed down from, you know, our loved ones because they weren't able to do the work to release that. So I believe that it gets passed on to us who are able and strong enough to become the zero point, to do the work and to release it, so we don't therefore pass it on to our next generation. It's
yes.
So important to do this work, to release this wounding, to release this trauma, because sometimes it's not from this life. That's why it's so difficult, because we're like, why am I feeling like this? Why can't I never get on in life? Why do all these things keep blocking me? And it does come from generational trauma or our past lives, I believe, as you said, or soul journey.
Absolutely. You know, generational is the first thing, because that's coming through your DNA.
Yeah, that's right.
And one of the sessions that I do is to clear that generational stuff. Mm. So if you think about it, it's coming from your parents, mother and father,
yep.
From your grandparents, great-grandparents, great. And before you know it, there's a whole host of people that haven't dealt with their own karma, and it's been passed down through the DNA for you to deal with.
That's correct. Now, that's really all there is, the power of now. Well, I just want to say, Oliver, what a wonderful spiritual, enlightening conversation we have had, and I've learned so much. And I just want to say thank you for your beautiful divine wisdom that you have been given, over all these years, and put it into helping humanity and being of service to others. So thank you, and thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the invitation and for having this chance to speak to you and to share some of the crazy wisdom that's upstairs.
It's very important that we come together and share and give it out at this time. Yes, at this great awakening time. So thank you, and peace and love to you.